away when you can take it from me? Why don't you stay and maybe join in the fun? Now the show has begun.
Yes, Dick Bentley and Jimmy Edwards will be on hand for the next 30 minutes with Wallace Eaton, Al McCogan, June Whitfield, Herbert Mostyn and the Keynotes, all inviting you to...
Take it from me.
Oh, come in. Miss Whitfield, come in, my dear. Bentley, where are your manners? What about a chair?
I've got one, thanks.
So you have. Well, make yourself comfortable, Miss Whitfield. You may shift from foot to foot if you so desire. Now, Miss Whitfield, now you've been with us now for how long? November the 12th to, Bentley, what does it say on your calendar?
It says, beauty unadorned.
No, the date part.
Oh, you know, I never noticed it's got dates on as well.
I've been here just 3 weeks. Oh. Nobody could imagine a more exciting experience.
I could.
Bentley, put your calendar away now. Miss Whitfield, you no doubt wondered why we called you in to the first spot.
Oh, yes,
we'd like to know whether you're happy here. Have you any complaints or any suggestions for bettering the show?
Well, I did think...
Oh, by the way, before you start, I'd like to point out that he's got a cast-iron contract and we're stuck with him. anything else?
Well, it's only that... Well, when we're at the microphone together, the end of your moustache tickles my left ear.
It's a reasonable complaint. It shall be glued back. Make a note of that, Bentley.
Right. Glue back Miss Whitfield's left ear. Just speak up if there's anything else, Miss Whitfield. We do want you to feel that in this show, it's a question of muck in together.
Yes, and this muck that we're in together is booked for 26 weeks. So if there is anything, you best get it sorted out now.
Well, that place you've given me for a dressing room, it's quite a nice telephone box, but...
But what, Miss Whitfield?
Well, every time I want to change, I have to breathe on all the little windows first. And even then, I get the feeling that outside there's a little beady thing pressed against the glass.
Oh, nonsense, Miss Whitfield. That's all my eye.
Well, if there's anything else, Miss Whitfield, I believe Miss Cogan has just come upon the scene.
Yes, either that or someone's turned the radiator on. Oh, Miss Cogan, I'm sure you have nothing to complain of.
Oh, yes, I have. Mr. Edwards, don't you think it's a cheek asking June and me to subscribe half a crown to Dick Bentley every week?
To Bentley?
It's quite true. Look, here's our last pay envelope.
Show me.
See, just there.
Well, it says 2 and 6 deducted as contribution to the B... Oh, no, my dear. Those initials don't refer to Bentley. It's to the Benevolent Fund. You better sing, ducks.
Can I come along with you? Oh, can I? Strutting down the street, got rhythm in your shoes, shuffling away the blues, Mr. Tap-Toe. You haven't any time to lose, Mr. Tap-Toe. Who's the girl you gonna choose? New straw hat with the candy bar stripe, the melon on the vine is ripe, Mr. Tap-Toe. Sharper than an old tin type, Mr. Tap-Toe. Who you taking out tonight? Where did you get those fancy clothes? The pretty hand-painted tie, cigar sticking out from under your chapeau. Who you gonna dance with tonight, Mr. Tap-Toe? Give a girl a break, I got a dress that's new. The pavement's big enough for two, Mr. Tap-Toe, to dance alongside with you, Mr. Tap-Toe. Tell me what you gonna do, Mr. Tap-Toe. Hey, Mr. Happy Tappy Toe. Now, where did you get those fancy clothes? The pretty hand-painted tie, cigar sticking out from under your chapeau. Who you gonna dance with tonight, Mr. Tap-Toe? Give a girl a break, I got a dress that's new. The pavement's big enough for two, Mr. Tap-Toe, to dance alongside with you, Mr. Tap-Toe. Tell me what you gonna do. Oh, Mr. Tap-Toe. Hey, Mr. Happy Tappy Toe. I wanna go along with you. I wanna go along.
It's absolutely sickening, sir. It's a scandalous series of subtler thoughts on the susceptibilities of sane, serious-thinking citizens.
Aye, aye, he's here again, old faithful.
You know my name, sir. I am disgusted of Tunbridge Wells, and I have submitted epistles to the press on 6 successive Sundays.
And what have you got roasting over the spit this week?
What have I got? Answer me this, sir. Answer me this. Why don't they make a stain remover that will remove the stain from a suit without leaving the spot where the stain was looking so clean that the rest of the suit looks dirtier than it looked when the suit was clean and the stain was dirty?
Do you know the answer, Bentley?
I'm not even sure of the question.
Well, thank you, Mr. Discussed, for exposing this.
Exposing? You talk about exposure, sir. Do you know what you can see right at the back of the stage at several reviews in London? You can see girls posing. I think it's disgraceful.
But the Lord Chamberlain insists they must stay stock still.
That's what's so disgraceful. Why doesn't he let the poor chilly things come right down to the footlights and warm themselves?
All right, Mr. Disgusted. Simmer down. We're with you to a man. But you must consider the effect on the theatre staff.
Nonsense. Theatre staff aren't influenced by what goes on in the theatre.
Well, I know cinema staff can be influenced by what sort of picture is showing on the screen.
No, really?
Yes, in fact, we'll demonstrate. Take over, David.
Well, the first case in point is our local cinema. Take the week it was showing that tough American Army film From Here to Eternity. After seeing the picture about 15 times, the commissionaire slouched out to the 3 and 9 queue.
At ease, man. Here's your orders. This column has been chosen to go in next. Yeah? The glorious 3 and 9s. We have the honor to make the first advance. But first, I want 2 volunteers for single seats. You and you.
But I've got my girlfriend with me.
Refusing to obey an order. One more word out of you, soldier, and I'll bust you down to a 1 and 3. Now get behind me, the rest of you. This outfit is going in there. Not for you. Not for me. But for good old Uncle Sam Goldwyn. Detail, charge.
A week after that, they had a Joan Crawford picture. Or should I say, the Joan Crawford picture.
Hey, miss.
Miss.
Could I have a chuck ice?
I've got no chuck ices. And I'm glad. Glad. Do you hear? Glad. Now maybe you'll know what it's like to sit through the long hours of darkness, yearning, longing, wondering.
Have you got a fourpenny tub, then?
That's all I am to you, isn't it? Just a pair of beautiful legs and a tray of fourpenny tubs. Well, I've had just about all I can take.
Could I have a bag of Brazil nuts, then?
What are you trying to do to me? Torture me? Twist me in half? Don't you see, mister? A Brazil nut's a Brazil nut, and a walnut's a walnut. But these are just assorted nuts.
What's wrong with assorted nuts?
What's wrong with them? Don't you see? They're all mixed up inside.
Another week, they had Julius Caesar. A couple we know went up to the manager.
Excuse me, are you full up?
Yon cash desk has a lean and hungry look. The fault, dear patrons, lies in our stars, not in ourselves. We are but underlings.
Well, what seats have you?
Beware the 1 and 3s. They do bestride their narrow seats like a colossus. And you petty men walk over their huge legs and peep about to end your quest upon another's lap.
Look, everybody's coming out. The big picture's starting.
Then hands to thy work. Cry havoc and let slip the 2 and 4s.
Tonight's talking point. Once again, we meet the Glums, our ordinary family facing up intelligently to life's problems. Today, their talking point is frankness a deterrent to the equability of social relationships? Over to the club.
Call it the choir boy cut wrong. It's the very latest thing, and the hairdresser said I mustn't comb it out till morning. What do you think, Ron?
I like it, Eth.
You really like it, Ron?
Yes, Eth, I like it.
Really, though?
Yes, I do. I like it.
I want you to say...
I like it, Eth.
You're not just saying it, Ron.
No, I like it.
If you don't like it, say so.
I like it, Eth.
I'd much rather you said you don't like it if you don't like it.
I don't like it, Eth. Oh, don't cry, Ethie, no, Eth. You know I can't stand it when you cry.
Hello.
I won't interrupt you if you're enjoying yourselves. Ron, have you seen my bent bit of wire? The gas meter needs another shilling.
Dad, we're having our first tiff.
I thought as much. I noticed Eth wiping away a surreptitious tear. Here, Eth, take my hanky.
Thank you.
Use this corner. I've been cleaning the bike.
Mr. Glum, Ron's been passing horrible nasty remarks about my choirboy.
It's not true, Eth, beloved. You know you are always the most beautiful thing in the world to your Ron, no matter how much of a sight you make yourself look.
Now, Ron, what a thing to say. Just you make it up. Go on. Go on now. Kiss.
All right, Dad.
Not me! Ah!
May I, Eth?
Don't know as how you deserve one.
Please, Eth.
All right. One. On my forehead.
That's it, Ron. Don't you mind me. I'm hardened to these scenes of searing passion. Now then, Ethel, what was all the tears about then?
Oh, I don't know, Mr. Glum. It's so unlike me. I'm always so light-hearted, bubbling over with high spirits and mischief.
It was my fault. The brute in me came uppermost.
Ron, it didn't.
It did.
Well, Ron, you know what happened. It happened because you didn't use sufficient tact. All right? So Ethel comes here with her hair looking like a split in a horsehair sofa. You shouldn't have commented on it.
But, Dad...
Oh, allow me, Ron. I know more about this than you do. You must cultivate tact where your chosen bride is concerned. Now, you have every right to tell Eth I'm just an interfering old has-been, but I'm...
Eth, my dad's just an interfering old has-been. He said I could tell you, so I let you know as soon as possible in case...
Ron.
Yes, Dad?
I hadn't finished, had I?
No, Dad.
Well, don't come the clever cuts with me. I'll tell you, Ron, women must be handled with tact. A wife is like a musical instrument. In Ethel's case, let's say a double bass.
Mr. Glass.
No offence, Ethel. I am speaking metamorphically. On the one hand, we have the husband, the player, as it were. On the other hand, this instrument, which must always be played firmly. But, on the other hand, it must be played with finesse.
That makes three hands, Dad.
That don't alter the facts. Tact is what you must have. Consideration of the wife's feelings. Hello, that's Mother coming. Where have you been, Mother dear, eh? You see how she answers me? With a caress in her voice. What sort of surprise, Mother? Well, don't stay out there. Come in and let's have a look. You see, Ron, interest falling in with her mood. Oh,
Mrs. Glum, you've had your hair done in a choir boy, too.
Oh, dear Cor, you look like a frayed dishcloth. Oh, lovely, what a horrible sight. Take it away, somebody. Put her in the corner.
Take a partner cute and sweet, swing her high off her feet. Then as she comes down to earth, kiss her while she's out of breath. Tell her she's the only one and it's done all in fun. As she cuddles, kiss her quick, that's a polka trick. The kiss and cuddle polka, set your toes aglow. You want to walk and go and
be a Romeo. You need no skies above to make you fall in love. Just plenty of a kiss and cuddle polka. Kiss and cuddle, that's the way it goes. Nothing sweeter, everybody knows. Say I love you, hold her very tight. Wedding bells will soon be ringing if you do it right. And cuddle polka makes your heart go sing. You want to dance and sing and really have a thing. And every girl and boy who know what they enjoy just wouldn't miss the kiss and cuddle polka. That's the kiss and cuddle polka.
Waiter, three more brandies and soda, please.
Yeah, you speak to the barman, your
guest. Yes, I say, Edwards, my wife wants me to bring her some sort of novel from the library. What would my wife like, Edwards, eh? What would she like, Bentley?
No, I don't think she'd like him. In my experience, Your Grace, elderly ladies like any romantic novel with a young doctor in it.
Oh, really?
You know, set in an English village where the young doctor falls in love with a dewy-eyed English rose, whose kind old father has gone all sad because she's given her heart to some young rotter, and if it's kept out for more than a week, there's a penny a day fine.
And if Your Grace will keep his thieving paws off my brandy, we'll give you an example. My name is Manville Carew, and I live in the little Surrey village of Bluttingham. I'm a director of a large business house, and I retired to the country because of the Open Air and the Companies Act of 1948. I'll never forget that summer's evening when my daughter Angela danced through the French windows, swinging her tennis racket.
Golly, aren't I the key one? Daddy! Oh, there you are, Dad. What are you reading?
Just an old book on gardening.
Oh, do let's see. No orchids for Miss... Who?
Never mind about that. It's a very... very dull book for a gal. Let me look at you. Angela, my dear, you're growing up. Yes, my little ugly duckling has now blossomed into a big, ugly duck.
Oh, Dad, you sentimental old dear.
Soon, my dear. Very soon, now. You'll be claimed as a bride by some young chap. Some handsome, charming, short-sighted chap.
Oh, no, Daddy, no. I'll never leave my daddy long legs. I won't, I won't.
Someday, the man of your dreams will come along. He'll take you from your old dad. He'll build a home for you, a house on some green. And then, after a year or two has passed...
Daddy...
Your marriage may be blessed with...
Good evening, I'm Dr. Medlicott.
Not yet! She hasn't even met the bloke yet!
Daddy, no. It's that young doctor from Honeysuckle Cottage.
Oh, the Honeysuckle Rose.
May I use... May I use your phone, please, Mr. Carew?
It's... Certainly.
It's rather urgent.
Carry on.
Blottingham 301, please. Hello, Mrs. Cartwright. Doctor here. I'm sorry I'm a little delayed, but you realize I must attend to my private patients before the national health ones. Now, Mrs. Cartwright, I'll arrange a bed for you at the... What? It was christened 3 weeks ago? Oh, well, keep taking the tablets. Thank you,
Screw. No, don't dash off like that, Doctor. Aren't you going to take a little something before you go?
Oh, it's very kind of you. As you didn't ask me to come, I think half a guinea would cover it.
Daddy, I must fly. Roddy Carfax has asked me over to knock a tennis ball about. Bye.
Gad, when she said that, it did make me think of her mother.
Why, sir?
I used to knock her mother about, you know. I'm worried about Angela, Doctor. She's running around with a bad sect.
Well, can be very uncomfortable. If she cares to bring it along to my surgery,
I mean... I mean that fellow Roddy Carfax. I can't see what she sees in him.
He's the only man in the tennis club who can serve overall.
I know. Flashy beast. Quite frankly, I'd sooner see my girl married to some dull, dreary nonentity.
But what can I offer her?
What can you... Doctor, do you mean to say that you... You?
For years, I've worshipped her. I even put those Lewis children next door on a course of vitamin pills just so I could drive past your gateway and catch a glimpse of her.
Oh, my dear boy.
But she didn't even notice me. And the Lewis children are already 8 feet tall. Oh, Mr. Carew, what I've suffered.
Now, take it easy, Doctor. You're overwrought. Your face has gone as gray as a sheet. Here, drink this dye.
What is it?
I took it out of your black bag. What does it say on the label? C-Y-A-N-I-D.
Oh, now what good will it do? She's so beautiful, and I'm hardly beautiful at all. It's all so hopeless.
No. You mustn't think like that. Fight for your love.
You've given me new heart, sir. I'll speak to Angela tonight at the tennis club flannel dance. Now I must fly. Where's my stethoscope?
Around your neck.
Oh, never mind. I'll find it. See you at the dance.
Hello, Dr. Meldicott. We don't see you much at our hops. How nice you look with that white carnation in your blazer.
It's not a white carnation, Miss Carew. I leaned over a plate of cream puffs. Oh, Miss Carew, will you promise me all the waltzes?
I'm afraid all the waltzes are promised to Roddy Carfax. However, if you're very nice, I'll give you the creeps.
Not dancing, young Medlicott.
It's not working, Mr. Carew. Angela has eyes only for Carfax. See the way he held her in the Palais glide. Much too pally in between glides. And he's brought her a plate of trifle. Oh, I do think that's a... Oh, sir, they both left the hall.
Quick, after them, into the shrubbery.
Roddy, let me go. You've been drinking. You reek of tonic wine.
Come here, you little fool. I always get what I want.
Oh, no. Help! Help! Somebody rescue me from the unwelcome attentions which are being forced upon me in the shrubbery by one in whom I had reposed my trust.
What? What was that? What was that? No, the bit before that.
Somebody rescue me from the unwelcome attentions which are being forced upon me.
All right, Angela. I'm here. You've been asking for this, Carfax. Take that, you unspeakable car. Oh, Angela, my dearest. I owe you an apology.
Oh, it wasn't your fault, Carfax ducked. Don't worry, Doctor. Angela'll be all right. She's got a chin like Rocky Graziano. Come on, my dear. Get up now. Pull yourself together.
Carfax has slunk away like the whipped cur he is. Oh, Angela, my dearest dear, you're trembling. I can tell by the wobble in your trifle. Angela, my sweet one, this scar inflicted on your soul will heal, and together we'll find heart's ease.
Oh, Cyril, you're so good. But I cannot leave Daddy. He needs me.
No, my dear. I shall not be quite alone. I have advertised in a periodical for a housekeeper. You find your own happiness, child.
But, Daddy, will you find happiness?
It remains to be seen. The advertisement goes in La Vie Parisienne tomorrow.
Harry Rabinowitz and the augmented BBC Review Orchestra bring our recorded show to a close. Those involved were Dick Bentley and Professor Jimmy Edwards. Encouraged by Wallace Eaton, Alma Cogan, June Whitfield, Herbert Mostyn, and the keynotes, Frank Muir and Dennis Norden wrote the script, and the program was produced by Charles Maxwell. We all invite you to tune in next week and...
Take it.